Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
We've broken ground on that one. And we are in the community, Leaders Credit Union, one of the sponsors this year for the Shelby County Pro-Am. They're giving out scholarships, have done that. They're a nonprofit 501c3 workforce readiness scholarships, also named one of the best credit unions in the nation, not just the state to work, best in the state as well, though. That says something about the kind of business they are, certainly. They don't just have employees. They have financial champions that are out to help you. Also, the money... nuts and bolts of it. They got more fee-free ATMs than Bank of America, so you're covered on your money no matter where you are in Memphis, and they're helping you try to grow your money. Can do a savings account. Future Leader Savings Account does 5% APY. We've opened up one for Christopher. You get bonuses for perfect attendance, straight A's. They've got the mortgage services, the Ford Plus high yield savings, just about everything that you need to have you covered, have your money growing. We tell you, visit the website, leaderscu.com/ESPN. Again, use that promo code ESPN. They're going to waive your membership fee. Just get to Leaders. Let them take care of you. You may be switching banks. Leaders federally insured by NCUA, and they're your financial champion. Every day on, well, not every day, every Monday around this time, I pull out the big green egg. It doesn't matter what the weather is because we got work to do. In a world full of disrespect, we pat out some burgers and we season them with respect. Let's do respect burgers. And some folks out there thought we'd just spend 5 minutes on this game. They think we're a basketball show.
Well, we will be in November.
Not if Ryan Silverfield keeps doing this.
Hoops City!
Not if Ryan Silverfield and Jordan Hankins.
They'll have to wait until January for hoop.
Keep doing this. We might be a little later to turn the page to hoops around here. Especially if we're talking about an undefeated season, potentially in a college football playoff appearance. All that said... whether it's Silverfield, I mean, you could give a respect burger to the whole team. I want to, in particular, I think we've got to the job that Jordan Hankins is doing for that Memphis defense because they are the true story so far. Their improvement from last year to this year. And, you know, you had to be careful, you know, wanting to believe this or even stating it as opinion the first couple of games because you didn't know. I mean, John's right. You didn't know after North Alabama and Troy if you had a defense or not, or a solid defense or not. In fact, some of the analytics might have suggested that you didn't. But clearly, the eyeballs were right. You've got a heck of a linebacking core that's leading this thing, led by Chandler Martin. The fact that you can go down to Tallahassee, force three turnovers, one right off the bat there on that first Florida State drive, really set a tone. Two fumbles, one interception, including that one in the opening drive, held Florida State to 37 rushing yards. And guys, it wasn't like they didn't try. It's 24 attempts. And so, you know, you had to be disciplined to stop that Florida State run that you knew was coming, even though you know that DJ Uiagalelei, as bad as that offense was going to be, he was going to take his shots as well. They held Florida State to 1.5 yards per carry. Again, this is a defense that's operating without one of its best defensive players in Elijah Herring. Florida State was 2 of 12 on third down attempts. Again, Memphis defense, 4 sacks, 12 tackles for loss. We said it was without Elijah Herring. Chandler Martin was already a stud before Elijah Herring got here. And he finished that game with 8 tackles, 1 sack, game high, 2.5 tackles for loss. And you heard the commentators, man, talking about how much they thought Chandler Martin could take it to the next level. He was so good in that game. This is a defense that has now, if you're looking for measurement in terms of improvement, we mentioned it there first hour. They've jumped 30 spots from where they were this preseason at 103 in the SP Plus rankings. That was a preseason ranking. Again, it was based on who you brought in, you know, what you had returning, but also your performance last year. They're now up to 73, and that is the kind of improvement we said that they had to do. We made this clear. They didn't have to be a top 50 defense, but they said they had to get to respectability, and that is absolutely what they're doing so far.
Yep.
Again, you can credit the offense who went up 20-3, you know, before holding on there for the win. You credit the whole team. Ryan Silverfield had his team ready, obviously, in a spot where that was a must-win game for Florida State. And you not just matched their energy, you controlled them. And so you could give the whole program the respect burger, certainly, a big old fat one, but I'm focusing this one on Jordan Hankins and just that job that Memphis defense is doing since Iowa State last year, really. It's a whole different attitude. It's an attacking attitude, almost in an offensive way. And it's been good to see. We talked about it. Gabe even tweeted about it, how much of a psycho Jordan Hankins got to be to blitz on a Hail Mary. Who's doing that out here? That's an aggressive play caller on defense. You love to see it. Up next for Memphis, a Navy team that is number 90 in the country on offense, but does do some things with the triple option offense that you've got to stay aware of and be on your P's and Q's. All right, moving on. I let the cat out of the bag. I'll keep this one short, but we've got to give a respect burger. I do personally to Matt LaFleur, who, if you can take Malik Willis, who Titans fans know did nothing for you, or certainly not enough to ever say that, hey, I'm the guy. You go out and you draft Will Levis. He can't beat out Mason Rudolph, and you trade him for a seventh rounder to the Green Bay Packers. We wonder, really, if you'll ever see him again. But then Jordan Love goes down, and Matt LaFleur has to ask Malik Willis to go out there and start against an upstart Indianapolis Colts team, again, against a young quarterback that are many expecting big things from, and Anthony Richardson. You go out there and you throw just two incompletions. We talked about it earlier from Malik Willis. My respect burger is more for Matt LaFleur, who, in a situation where very easily with Jordan Love down, we'll see if it's going to be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Maybe it sets you so far behind the eight ball that you're not able to catch up and be a playoff team, or even, you know, compete with Detroit or whoever it's going to be in the NFC North for the division title, and you are able to go and salvage a win like that. Very impressive. And for me, maybe it's just an awakening that Matt LaFleur really is a pretty solid coach. He's done it now with, offenses that look like, okay, it was common sense, play action. That's the Titans. He's done it with Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers. Well, here now he's done it with Jordan Love. Got him looking comfortable within, and here you're taking a Malik Willis, never did anything for the Titans, and he's having his best game of his career. Never even threw for 100 yards in any of those three starts for the Titans, and he's out here, going 12 of 14. So shout out to Matt LaFleur, impressive win for them. All right, moving on, we have not mentioned this brother who passed away back earlier this month. It was actually September 3rd, and I want to make sure that we stopped. Because one thing about Clarence Jones, he was Coach Clarence Jones to me. Former Tiger, played on the 1973 runner-up team, but role player, not a guy that we talked a ton about, but was one of those guys that stayed in Memphis. And I knew him as the longtime Trezvan coach. Again, had gone into high school coaching after his career at Memphis. 6'6", role player for the Tigers, averaged about 8 points, 4 rebounds for his 4 seasons. But I will tell you this, I have never met probably the most humble, the most it's about the kids, not about me coach I've ever met. And I'm talking college or high school, Clarence Jones and the man that he was. And if you know that, you know it wasn't just him as the coach. That was him as the man, the servant that he was. And anybody that knew Clarence Jones or I was reading the neighbors that he had for 30 years, they certainly knew, you know, not just the class act that he was, but really the salt of the earth kind of guy that he was. And you don't have great cities or great communities or great teachers and coaches without having guys like Clarence Jones that were just willing to roll their sleeves up and do the work and then not ask for a lot of love. You know, as a high school sports writer here in Memphis, you would be drawn to the high-profile athletes, everything else, the recruiting stories, the things that were, you know, back in the day, wasn't so much about clicks, but it was kind of, you know, it's that then, you can still define it as that. You want people to read. And those stories didn't typically come from Clarence Jones coach teams, but his teams were as well coached as everybody. Remember, I think he had Adrian Banks back in the day, ended up playing overseas, but played at Trezvan. And man, what I remember is how much Banks and those Trezvan players loved their coach Clarence Jones. And you remember, or if you go read about it, all of his Memphis teammates from that 73 team loved their guy Clarence Jones because he would do anything necessary. Now, so I just want to make sure I had gotten a text from Derek Hunter, the longtime BTW girls coach, one of our best high school coaches we've ever produced, frankly, around these parts, and a great, great man. He had texted me a couple of weeks ago that we had lost Brother Jones, Coach Jones, and it was it's hard, it's tough to hear.
Yeah.
Because these are the guys that, man, they've poured into, you know, so many folks that have come out of North Memphis and done great things, guys like Clarence Jones, but all over Memphis. But I was always partial to Clarence Jones. He never called me saying, man, we need more of this or more of that, like a lot of coaches do. And a lot of times, y'all, that's about the coaches more so than it is about the kids. Clarence Jones is all about the kids. He was always about the teammates that he was with, or always about the neighbors that he had. And I think it's those people that we should definitely be giving their flowers to. And then of the same sort of, you know, ilk, how about this story? A respect murder to KJ Lawson.
Hey!
The new Hamilton High basketball coach, who follows in his father's footsteps and many other former Hamiltonians that have gone back to coach that program. No, Cowboy, who he replaces, Eric Robinson's a former Hamilton guy, and Cowboy is now at Pure with Sean Williams, by the way, another Hamilton guy. But I want to say this about KJ Lawson, because you guys, we've discussed this, and KJ Lawson, and really the Lawson family, but particularly KJ, is one of those examples of how ugly things can get, right, when it comes to Memphis fans or rooting for Memphis players. We know that, you know, KJ Lawson, kind of like in that Alex Lomax role where, you know, very heavily scrutinized at one time, you know,
yep,
booed, and Penny Hardaway say, hey, you don't do that. He'd come back as a Tulane player. But again, whether it was his family or not living up to fans' expectations, remember this, a guy who was, I want to tell you, the conference rookie of the year, his first full healthy season. KJ Lawson, you know, something that I thought, wow, you could really let that personally affect you. The way fans kind of, at one point, they want you, right? They want you to come to their school. They'll tell you anything that you want to hear to get you there. And then they turn on you. And you wonder if you put yourself in those shoes, could you, I suppose, be as forgiving in a sense that maybe you don't hold it against those fans, or that you want to stay in this city that you could have said at one time you felt like turned on you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I could see him that way. Clearly, he does not. This is a man who's gone back into his neighborhood and is now pouring into that neighborhood. This is what Clarence Jones did after essentially playing for the Tigers. KJ Lawson going back in and doing it essentially for the kids that are coming up now, passing that torch on to them. And he's doing it clearly with a big heart and a hope that he's going to, you know, send the next kid on to the next great basketball player on to Memphis. But here's the other thing. KJ Lawson's been over there at Hamilton teaching too. This isn't just a basketball deal. One of our church young men who's going to be a deacon, a junior deacon very, very soon, Jackson, he's a Hamilton football player, also a barber over there, an aspiring barber, and KJ's one of his teachers over there. And so I would just like to say thank you, KJ Lawson, for keeping it Memphis, even when Memphis at some points or another turned on you in a way or another. Now, clearly, Memphis has welcomed him back and everything since then, and I hope now when you see KJ Lawson, you give him the proper respect, because, again, this is what we want from Memphis folks, right? We want him to come back, contribute to their communities and everything else. KJ Lawson's doing it. A guy who could have been bitter is not. And a guy I greatly admire for those. All those guys. Alex Lomax, who apparently has never just taken it personally, you know, to still be here in town and being a contributor, trying to help out residents and the youth. I just think that's a great thing when you can set aside any sort of, you know, personal things you might be feeling. You set that to the side, you forgive, and you give. And that's what KJ Lawson's doing. So
man,
respect to that and the family story that the Lawsons have been over at Hamilton.
Yeah, I love to see it, man. That's a great example, you know, of
once considered a hothead, KJ Lawson.
Exactly
was.
Right.
That? Even his own. That's not like necessarily a characterization by Memphis fans. His own dad talked about how much of a
hothead
KJ was.
We all remember the Snapchats about Tubby,
oh yeah, man.
You know, I mean,
oh yeah, that's right. How could I leave that out? The whole. Yeah. You know, and that was held against him
in a way.
That's
why I'm here, brother. I remember the Snapchat.
But we kind of did that to Tubby, too. I want, you know, we kind of all did that to Tubby. Yeah. We've made that point as well.
Yeah.
But he, for some reason, got vilified. Hopefully now we've all got him sort of the proper context on the Lawsons. Man, they're good folks, man.
Yeah, they are.
Always have been. They have been great to us, you and me.
No question.
In particular.
Yeah. They've been the gift
Chuck
that
too.
Keeps
Chuck
on giving since 2011, 2013.
Yeah, how come Chuck didn't have any ball players?
Yeah, I know. Chuck, we got to get on
that.
So
we need more Lawsons coming up through the ranks. Good.
I hate to do this. It really pains me because I was a believer. I really was.
I don't know what you're about to say. I know who's getting in, and y'all should be ashamed of yourself.
Maybe I'm going to throw a curveball at you.
Maybe you are. because you were scaring me.
Or maybe I'm not, and maybe you do know because you've telegraphed my plays here. But Bryce Young.
No. Okay. Thank you.
A little
I thought you were going to give it to Mike Norvell.
No. Couldn't do that. Like you said, he meant too much to the program.
Thank you.
Could not. You could not. There's no, hey, no shame in losing
when
Memphis.
I heard this pains, you know, this kind of pains me. That's what I was wondering.
There's no shame in losing Memphis football in 2024.
I guess not. But, not even that way?
Not even that way. It's a power program. You know, there's no question about it. But Bryce Young's starting job is over. It's been lost. Dave Canales has made the decision to go with the Red Rocket, 36-year-old Andy Dalton. I want to give you a few stats here. Bryce Young was pressured on just 4 of his 29 dropbacks in Week 2. That's the lowest of any quarterback that started in Week 2. Just 4. So basically what they said was, we don't even have to pressure you, bro. We're just going to play our defense in the secondary.
That's really scary.
And we know you can't beat us. 18 career starts. Bryce Young is 9 of 42 on 20-plus air yard attempts. That is the second worst in the NFL over that same span. I don't know who the first worst is, but he's second worst. Maybe the first is Daniel Jones. Don't know. Bryce Young has experienced the lowest pressure rate among all starting quarterbacks when attempting throws 20-plus yards. So, again, what that tells you is that defenses simply just do not respect his ability for whatever reason. Like, the book on Bryce Young to the casuals is, oh, his offensive line was getting him killed, right? But what does that stat tell you? That stat tells you that even when his offensive line was holding up and the defense wasn't pressuring him, he still could not deliver. Mm. He still could not stand in there and make the throws. And I don't know if his career is over. I mean, you know, you were really bearish on him from the jump. I got to give you credit on that because you said, you know, it wasn't necessarily about his ability, but it was about his body.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I think it was consensus. The ability was good enough, and that's what scares me.
And it's actually
– how could we all be so wrong?
The body has held up.
Right.
And the ability never showed up with him.
Just a game or two last year, right? But you're right, the body's held up.
Yeah, I never thought
– been better than Burrow to start.
Yeah.
Body-wise.
Yeah,
holding up.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know – I mean, I know that last year was bad and it was a mess from top to bottom. But, you know, if you're not showing anything, you know, 2 games into your second year with a new offense and a new staff and a new, you know, you brought in some weapons. Like, you just, there's nowhere else to hide anymore for Carolina. And as somebody that has over 4.5 wins, I am very thankful to have some new life with the Red Rocket. I mean, he's not going to be bad. He won't be great. But he'll be an upgrade.
I saw some of him. It's not good.
Well, he's a 5-win quarterback.
About a year and a half. Was he the Bears two
it was
seasons
the,
ago?
It was the
he's
Saints.
Playing for us. Saints. Okay.
Yeah, he was 6-8 in his 14 games. That's great. I need that pace right now. That's exactly what I need from him.
What is that? The last 2 years? Last year? What?
He didn't play last year, and then in 2022 he was with the Saints. And they must have been with the Bears the year before that.
Must have been.
Was he the full time starter?
For a couple, yeah. One said whether it was hurt or whatever else.
Yeah, but I mean, you're not going to playoffs, but like, you know, he's better than Bryce.
No, you're only trying to get your 4 wins or whatever. So
well, they're just trying to keep the locker room engaged. Yeah, Chicago 2021.
Where's this?
He started 6 games. He was 3-3. Eight touchdowns, 9 picks. He was better in New Orleans, though. He had 18 touchdowns and 9 picks in New Orleans. So that's what I'm saying. It's like he's just better than Bryce. I mean, the bar is on the absolute floor. But you know, I mean, I gotta say, what did we miss?
This isn't about Bryce Young as much as it's about, to me, the quarterback evaluation process.
Yeah,
and just how wrong, forget us, these experts can be when everybody looks at it and says that's the next thing. It feels like we're headed that way with Caleb Williams again very early, but I mean, with Bryce Young, what are we talking about? Everybody said the arm talent's it. It's just the body. He's got God-given ability as a passer. Everybody said it.
Yep.
All the Dan Orlovskys on the ESPNs, all the quarterback gurus, all the Mel Kuypers, like it down the line. So how can everybody be so wrong in 2024 when we've been doing this for so many years?
Yeah.
Like, what do you miss? What are the key? Obviously, we don't have all the right criteria because clearly this was a guy that you said checked every box except body. And now you're seeing a guy who can't. You don't even have to blitz him. So now it's you know, his mind's either mixed up and he's a mess, or he just never had it in the first place. But how could we have been so wrong? I think that's what the story is. Because again, this could be the same thing with Caleb.
Yep.
Again, we were people. There were folks that were pushing Caleb. Excuse me, pushing C.J. Stroud down.
Yeah.
Because of his score on this test, this R7 or whatever they call it. Used to be Wonderlic, whatever it was, pushing him down. And this dude, he has the best rookie season ever. So our evaluation process is, how could it be this off or this inaccurate after we've been doing it for so many years? Ask yourself that. Ask yourself how we don't have a better evaluation prospect or a better chance of knowing which one of these guys is the more likely hit and which one isn't.
It's weird. It is weird. I mean, he had all the plaudits at Alabama. It's hard to have a better career, but you know, maybe the Alabama quarterback pipeline is, I mean, you got to look, you think now the only one that's really made it, I mean, at a successful, consistent level in the NFL under Saban the last 5 years is the guy that transferred. I'm just saying.
Jalen?
Mm-hmm. Because Tua, I mean,
Tua.
He made it, but it's like, it's hit or miss. He hasn't really.
It's all injury.
But Mac was a mess.
Mac was a mess. So
Bryce is a mess.
We agree. Pats had a bad plan.
They did, but somebody can give him a chance. I mean,
well, the Jacksonville has. I thought you said he looked great.
Well, in the preseason, but why not trade for him if you're Carolina? That's what I would do. I'd go get him.
Trade for Mac Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you'd have to be telling yourself you're literally done with Bryce if you do that. You're putting another young one in there.
Well, can you go back to Bryce?
He's the number one pick. You have to go back to him.
Well, what does that look like?
This is just the point where you're just hoping to shake him up and get his confidence and show him, dude, we got to be serious with you. Like, we're going to bench you. You know, this is just a motivational tactic because you don't have a choice.
But if they start winning.
You gave away all your picks to get this.
If they beat the Raiders this weekend, they're not going back to Bryce. Right? They can't. I mean, I guess I can, but it just feels...
This is not for playoffs with
Andy Dalton.
There is no run, dude. You're thinking about your bet. This is all about trying to motivate, dude. This is not about Andy Dalton being the guy for Carolina at the right time. This is literally trying to find a way to motivate.
Sure.
Maybe sending him to the bench, you're hoping, okay, you get your tail in that playbook.
For sure.
And fix this. This is their way of trying to motivate him. They're not done, bro. They invested too much in him.
Well, that's why the Bears need to go with Tyson Badgett. They need to go ahead and make that move now, put Caleb on the bench so that he can, you know.
No, because it's what, year one. You're right. Doing this with Bryce in year two.
He's 2-16 in 18 games.
Correct.
Let's not
break Caleb just yet.
Yeah, you can't look
in that way.
No, they're breaking Bryce all
the
way.
They're trying to.
Yeah. So if there's anything there, they're going to try to get it out of it.
I thought he'd be mentally strong enough for things like this. But again, maybe you just don't. You think that stuff and you hear it from Saban, but you don't know.
He was asked yesterday if he has confidence, Bryce Young. And he said, my confidence is in the Lord. So he has no confidence anymore, clearly. So that's where we were in week two.
Wow.
Yeah. Just not a great situation for sure. We'll come back. We'll get Jason Fitz's thoughts on it. Raiders get a win. I mean, Antonio Pierce, let me say this. The man goes for it on 4th and 5 in the third quarter on Baltimore's 45-yard line down 10. But he doesn't go for it on 4th and 3 down 6 in the
fourth.
Bro, you're
going to have to let that go and let your coach.
I mean,
and Fitz told you that last week.
That man just making stuff up. But it worked. It worked on Sunday. So I gotta give it to him.
And then you getting wins over Ravens. Yep.
It's crazy, man. We always do play the Ravens tough. I will say that. I don't know what it is about Lamar and the Raiders, but he don't like seeing that pirate.
Apparently
the autumn wind.
Apparently it's like the San Francisco 49ers. They going to Minnesota.
92 last time they won.
That's unbelievable.
The autumn wind is a Raider. Lamar. We'll come back with Jason Fitz. Stick around. Jason and John, Audie Turner Family, ESPN. Jason Fitz is a host for Yahoo Sports. Host for Fox Sports Radio on the weekends, and he's, I can only assume, a very happy man on Monday. What's up, brother?
I mean, Victory Monday feels better than not Victory Monday. I think that's not even a hot take, but guys, there's a lesson for the entire league. This year, is every game, mostly, is going to be decided by 2 or 3 plays, and you're either on the right side of those 2 or 3 plays, or you're on the wrong side of those 2 or 3 plays. It feels darn good for the Raiders to have been on the right side of that for once, get to 1-1. Little surprised by Baltimore, a lot surprised by Vegas. It's a stunning, stunning outcome.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to do that, right? Like, who does it say more about, right? But the answer definitely has to be the Ravens, the way they choke that lead away. And just, honestly, the undisciplined defense as well, right? I mean, that defense has kind of fallen off.
Yeah, well, I mean, you lose one of the best defensive coordinators. There's a lesson we learned last year with a couple of these coaches. Like, you see great coordinators leave, they're not easily replaced. So I think that has to be a big part of the conversation is like, hey, how are you replacing that personality in the locker room? I think that's a big part of it. How are you replacing that scheme? That's a big part of it. And the answer for Baltimore is you're not, right? So now what do you do? And frankly, I want to throw Todd Monken under the bus too. Like, that was the Raiders defense that was gassed in the second half, and they abandoned the run. Somebody make that make sense to me. If you're looking at a Raiders defense that their hands are on their hips and even the broadcast is noting, hey, they look tired, and you got Derrick freaking Henry, how do you not just run the ball over and over and over again? I was stunned.
I'm trying to figure it out because my partner is back and forth on him on a weekly basis, but it sounds like Antonio Pierce is a leader of men at times. And you sound like you are, right now, you are fine with Antonio Pierce as the coach of the Raiders because at certain moments, whether it's against the Chiefs or against the Ravens, man, he can get guys up and get them ready to play. I mean, just where are you on Antonio Pierce, the football coach, the head football coach? Can we lose him?
Yeah, I mean, I think silence speaks volumes, right?
He might be tired talking about this irrelevant team. No, there he is. There we go.
Yeah, but
Fitz, right, I lost you guys. It sounds like, and then I lost you. Sorry.
Yeah, but Antonio Pierce. Yeah, we were going back and forth. What do you make of him week to week?
Look, I think Antonio Pierce is being pretty consistent. Like, consistently, he's going to be a guy that's looking at it with a high expectation, and he's going to do whatever he feels like is right in that moment. Like, some of those third and short, fourth and short situations, again, this time he was a little aggressive a couple of times, but, you know, I think Antonio Pierce's identity right now is we are going to fight and we are going to take hits. And frankly, I also don't think Antonio Pierce has to be Mike Tomlin today because he's got Max Crosby to do for him. Like, a lot was made of that moment, but I think it was huge yesterday that Gardner Minshew throws a stupid interception that could cost your team the game. And Max Crosby's the first person over in his face saying, hey, I need you. Throw that one away. It doesn't matter. I need you the rest of this game. And y'all, like, I think you also saw that if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, so this is a message for everybody that doesn't have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. If you don't have one of those guys, but you build a defense that can absolutely keep you in a game, they asked that defense to be superhuman yesterday. And for the most part throughout the course of that game, they managed that Herculean lift. That keeps you in games. Like, if you don't have that quarterback, build a great defense and then just wait to see if you can find that quarterback. That's the method for the Raiders. And, you know, we're back to where we were a week ago. I think they're an 8-win team that's going to be right on the precipice of the playoffs this year, winning games they shouldn't, losing games they shouldn't, because this is the modern NFL.
Right.
Well, real quick, just to stick with that, what do you do now since Dak won't be there, right? If you're that team and Dak's off the board because we were with you, that's who you go. What do you do now?
You hope that, you know, you can build the equity to move up for Quinn. Like, the guys, I mean, college football fanatics have seen this. The jump for Quinn Ewers from last year to this year has been incredible. Yeah. So, like, I genuinely think the way Quinn is climbing the pocket, working his mechanics, it's beautiful to watch Quinn play. I think Quinn is going to escalate up boards. People are going to be fighting for Quinn with the top overall pick. Your hope has got to be that you got the ammunition at some point to move up to one. Yeah, but, you know, the other side of it is I will also counter that with that Quinn Ewers argument with the Sam Darnold argument. Look at Minnesota. Like, they found a coach that knows how to – there's a quarterback whisperer. It's now suddenly got Sam Darnold looking like a world beater again. Like, you either got to find your Quinn Ewers or you got to find your Kevin O'Connell, which is easier said than done. That most teams don't have that guy.
Yeah, I mean that I could build, I could get around, I could get behind that for sure. Because you watch that team, you're like, damn, if there was just a consistent QB that, you know, people could get excited about.
I'll argue this though. I hear that, but I'll argue this. I think the Raiders' offensive line has been the real reason that hasn't looked good. Gardner Minshew has been fine. Like, the reason that their offense looks terrible is left to right. I talked to three different former offensive linemen today, and all three of them said that is one of the worst offensive lines they've seen through 2 weeks in the last 10 years. Ooh. I don't think this is a quarterback issue. I think the fact is, when you cannot run the football and when your offensive line is not good enough, any quarterback back there would get murdered. So I do think that we need to at least understand when we have these quarterback conversations. I think if they had Peyton Manning back there, they would still struggle because they got five people in front of them that are playing borderline incompetent football, including Colton Miller.
Well, while we're on the subject of the Raiders, they're going to be facing a quarterback they probably didn't expect to be facing this weekend. It's not Bryce Young. It's, in fact, Andy Dalton. Bryce Young has been benched this morning by the Panthers. You know, I don't know if his career is over, But I will say, in terms of we had concerns about his body and his durability and all those things, but you know, we never worried about his actual ability. We never wondered, man, are we sure he's good enough? So why do you think it hasn't happened for Bryce, and do you agree with the decision to bench him?
I don't agree with the decision to bench him, because you're never going to get him right this way. Like, I think what you have to do is block out the noise. Like, Josh Allen wasn't great his rookie year or his second year. What did the Bills do? They locked out the noise, and they just said, hey, let's keep developing the guy.
Yeah.
Bryce isn't going to get better on the bench. The one thing that I did hear about him coming out that was a small concern from people around Alabama is that he didn't communicate or pick up blitz packages very well. So this year I thought Carolina did a smart thing in investing in smart and experienced offensive linemen around him to protect him from that. But he's still struggling with that. So I think there is some game intelligence he's got to work on. I don't know how you get better reading that from the sidelines. When's the last time we saw a number one overall pick bench that came back and had a Hall of Fame level career? Like, I think it's basically it for Bryce, and this is it for Carolina. And, you know, it should be noted, I've done the research. Maybe somebody out there will correct me. I can't find a single team in sports history that has had the number one pick in their draft 3 consecutive years. And Carolina looks like they're bad enough to do that. They were the number one pick last year. They traded it to Chicago, obviously, for Caleb Williams. But they have earned the number one pick 2 straight years, and they look dreadful this year. If they earn the number one pick 3 straight years, this isn't a Bryce Young problem. This is Carolina being the most inept franchise in professional sports history. Let that soak in. So, again, we want to put this on Bryce. That's why I think saving Bryce from Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins is probably a smart thing. But Bryce is done, and the Panthers are done.
In terms of teams that we thought were contenders coming into this season, and maybe you don't have Baltimore in the Super Bowl, but I think that's one of those teams we held up there. Are they in the most trouble of those teams that you had as contenders? Maybe it's the Cincinnati Bengals. I just look at Baltimore with Cowboys, and man, was that bad this week, but still, Cowboys, Bills, Bengals as their next 3. That could be more trouble coming for them. But to you, which quote-unquote contender may be in the most trouble?
I think it is Baltimore, and you can make the argument for Cincinnati, but we've been there, done that.
Exactly.
Cincinnati, right?
Like, right.
They
right.
start slow every time, and I looked at their schedule this morning. If you look at the last 6 games for Cincinnati, 5 of the 6 of them, they're going to be heavy favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a chance to run at the end of this year. I'm just not worried about Cincinnati. I'm worried about Baltimore because, again, their offense, I came into the season saying it could be the best in the league, and instead, they just have no flow. They have no rhythm. They don't seem to have any idea what they're trying to accomplish. Their offensive line isn't playing well enough.
Yep.
And defensively, they're undisciplined. Oh, and by the way, the penalties, like, this Ravens team is just absolutely getting in their own way. Like, lost in all the conversation about the Raiders' win is that the Raiders played a very clean football game. We're talking about lack of penalties. They kept themselves in positive down and distance throughout the course of the game for the most part. Like, they didn't make stupid mistakes. And the Ravens did it over and over again to the point that you finish the game. There's one player. If you sit down and say there's one player you cannot let beat you for the Vegas Raiders on the defensive side of the ball, it's Max Crosby. On the offensive side, it's Devontae Adams. Those are the two guys that absolutely destroyed your game. You got one game record you absolutely have to worry about on both sides of the game, and you couldn't stop either of them. You can't tell me that that's not a massive issue for the Ravens moving forward. Like, they're not being judged by winning their division. The Ravens are supposed to be in a championship window. They don't look like they're anywhere near the class of Buffalo or even Kansas City.
Yeah, we're talking to Jason Fitz.
Agreed.
From Yahoo Sports and Fox Sports Radio. Do want to get your thoughts. There was a massive win for the college program, which you know very well because you were here for history when game day came to the city of Memphis. And so you know what this program has done and you know might do in the future. How big is this win for Memphis to go on the road, even against a down Florida State team, and come away with the victory as convincing as that one?
You got to beat the brands, and that's exactly what Memphis did. You got to be able to beat certain brands, whether they're up or they're down doesn't matter. I mean, we talked about it on the College Football Power Hour on Yahoo. Like, I think the unfortunate thing is that the wheels have fallen off of Florida State so hard that Memphis isn't going to get the committee credit that they want from this win. That doesn't matter. In this moment right now, in this landscape, that is still a feather in the cap win. I don't care what anybody says and where Florida State ends up. This is the sort of win that I think absolutely divides the locker room for Florida State. I wonder if Mike Norvell has the you-know-whats to be able to bring that locker room back together. Let's remember, as much as I think everybody involved in this interview right now is a fan of Coach Norvell, I will say this. His beginning at Florida State was rocky. the right now at Florida State is rocky. And I understand he has a $65 million buyout, but if the reason you're keeping your coach is because it's too expensive to let him go, that shows you where things have gone only months after being undefeated. So, you know, the wheels have fallen off of Florida State. But if you're Memphis, you went in and you showed. You didn't somehow sneak out a win. If you're Memphis, you went in and you dominated that game. You had control of that game throughout the course of 90% of it. I don't think it was ever really in question. Also, you wanted it more. You looked faster. You looked more explosive on the field. All of the things that you need to be able to sell on why you are one of the rest that perennially can be a playoff power. Like, that is the lost in the group of five, as we used to call them, conversation, is when you win these games, you can go into recruits with your NIL budget and say, oh, by the way, we will offer you the opportunity. We are going to be in the playoff conversation. And there aren't very many teams. And I've talked to some people around the UNLV program. You know how much I love Vegas. For UNLV, the reason it was key that they beat Kansas wasn't the Kansas is having a down year, just like Florida State's having a down year. UNLV wants to be able to go to recruits and say, hey, you will play Kansas, we will beat Kansas, and as a result, we will be on the radar for the college football playoff. You can't say right now, if you go to Purdue, or if you go to Wisconsin, or if you go to Northwestern, or if you go to Auburn, you can't say you have a better shot at making the college football playoff than you do at a group of five school that knows how to master the group of five. That's why I think the win was huge for Memphis.
I'm with you there. It's unfortunate that it wasn't enough to get you ranked in the AP poll. I'm just curious, in terms of the teams you look at, I think John just went and looked at the odds for us a little bit earlier in the show, and it was Boise State and Liberty, at least still from the books, that they've got ahead of Memphis. I think Memphis was plus 450. Would you take Memphis in that spot, or you still like Boise and, a Liberty team we figure is going to finish undefeated, but it's not going to have any play? Would you still have them ahead of Memphis if you were handicapping it?
I swear to God, I would be less stunned if I walked down the street today and some grandma slapped me in the face than I would be if Liberty makes the college football playoff, no matter what they do. And I think the odds makers here are stealing money. I think the people in the AP poll are telling you they don't pay attention to the college football playoff committee. I don't think Liberty could beat every team remaining on their schedule by 100 and still make the college football playoff. They made it clear that you cannot schedule the way Liberty did. And Liberty said, up yours to the committee and schedule that way again. Yeah. I don't think anybody that says they're going to make the college football playoff has ever sat there and thought what matters to the college football playoff committee. So I think Liberty is absolutely out of the conversation. Boise State is a much different part of this. Boise State has some street cred. They've been doing it for a long time. They're a respected program, like it or not.
Right.
Their ability to come in and year out and be competitive, the fact that they have gone into bowl games in past years and been competitive, that matters to some of the grandpas and meemaws that are sitting on that committee that are sitting there talking about football 10 years ago. Do I think it should matter? No. Does it matter to them? Yes. So I think Boise State still stands ahead of Memphis in this. But let's be very honest. Like, there is traction there. And if you're Memphis, you know, you just got to keep doing what you do and do it convincingly. The thing Memphis has to remember, though, is they don't have wiggle room. Like, there is
zero.
You cannot have an off day. They don't have the benefit that everybody else has on, like, hey, I snuck out of this game and a touchdown. Like, Memphis is going to have to dominate every single week if they want to find their way into the college football playoff. They're going to have to make it so clear to the committee that it would be a mistake to keep Memphis out, that they cannot keep them out. That's the only way they make it.
Was the Georgia performance in Lexington just a product of Georgia playing Kentucky and Lexington, and it always gets weird up there? Or do you think that maybe, you know, Georgia might not be the number one team in America, that it could be a Texas or it could be a Miami even? Like, what do you think of that?
Well, Georgia isn't the number one. Like, if I had an AP vote today, I wouldn't put Georgia number one. And I know that Georgia is Georgia. We all know that. But,
right.
Man, their offense looks out of whack. Like,
right.
And by the way, Carson Beck does not look like a world beater right now. Like, everything's just a little off with them. And then he watched Texas. And, my God, like, I know I talked about Quinn early. He leaves the game. Arch Manning comes in and makes it look like he's playing video game football and reminds us all why he's getting so much money to sit at Texas right now. Like, Arch is going to be incredible. So you look at Texas. Man, they're deep right now. They're deep for the next 3 to 5 years. I think as tough as I've been week in and week out on Alabama, I sat there and watched the Alabama game and said, yep, this is the week I got to fall on the sword. Like, Jalen Milroe looks like he might be the best player in the country right now. And this Alabama team looks like Tyson in their prime. They can beat you with one punch from absolutely anywhere. Kalen DeBoer's got them playing explosive football up and down. So I think they're great. I think Ohio State is great. I think Miami does belong in that conversation. So, frankly, I would have no problem with the voter putting all of those teams
ahead of Georgia as they stand right now. In a couple of weeks, we get Georgia, Bama. It'll all take care of itself. But, man, either Georgia's holding back and they're keeping their foot off the gas for that game, or this just isn't the Georgia team we think they are.
Yeah, it was not that compelling. Fitz, man, you are the best. Enjoy Victory Monday. I know it's not with Woodson's whiskey anymore.
But you know what? You know what? Brick by brick, baby. It was a non-alcoholic drink last night. And, you know, humble brag. I was texting Crosby this morning. I said, man, you're killing me. He said, brick by brick. I used that when I went to the gym today. Still working out. Brick by brick. Let's go.
Wait a minute. You're texting Max Crosby? He's going to drop that on us?
Yeah, we're buddies, dude. Like, I'm not going to hide that. Like, me and Max, we're boys. We love you, brother boys. Like, let's say, let's go. Come
on. What kind of, real quick, but just because you mentioned him and y'all are buds, what kind of deal would it take to pry Max Crosby out of there and get him onto a Bears line where he would complete their defense? Like, what would you demand for him? I mean, John and I were just talking about it off air. How many picks?
If I were the Raiders, there's nothing I would trade him for. I honestly think if you were trying to trade today for Max Crosby, the starting asking price would be 3 number ones and a player.
Holy cow! That's what this man said. I said, no way. 3 first round, 3 number ones?
Three number one and the player. Because the thing of it is, if you're Mark Davis, it is rare you can say this, man. You've got a billboard. You've got a guy that will be on the billboard.
Yeah.
Like he is a defensive player of the year candidate. That, yep. Like it's not Miles Garrett where he's lost on the Browns at times.
Right.
This guy is the epitome
lifts
of
guys up. Player. Yeah, he lifts up a quarterback too. I mean, yep. Wow.
Yep. Yep.
Remember this. I'll always tell this story. After he got his mega deal the first time, I saw him. We did our tattoos right after that. I saw him and I asked him what he did the next day. I said, you just got $110 million fully guaranteed. What'd you do the next day? He said, I got to the facility at 5 a.m. to work out.
He's built different, bro. He's built different.
Do y'all have like matching tattoos or what? Or what, Fitz?
No, we got tattoos. No, we got tattoos at the same time during an interview. But I'll say this, like, boys, to be clear, if I get $110 million fully guaranteed, the first thing I'm doing is going to a beach and taking a week off. So, like, that's why he's Max.
that's awesome. Why,
you know, I'm trying to remember brick by brick why I try and lift my body weight.
Yeah, no, he's
the best, Fitz.
He's a special guy.
He's awesome.
And so are you. You're the best.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you, boys. Have a great week. Thank you.
He is Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio.
Y'all just ain't giving up Max Crosby then. So y'all don't got crazy. Well,
yeah, three firsts.
Three firsts.
Two-time second team All-Pro Bowl. He'll probably be, or All-Pro, I should say. He'll probably be first team this year. I mean, he is a one-man game changer. On that defense,
I would go with that now.
You know, but he batted the ball down a couple times with Lamar. You know, he got to Lamar a couple times. The pressure,
yeah. Lamar couldn't believe on one of them how fast the man was on top of him. I could tell in terms of his body, the way it reacted.
Yep, he's a fun player.
And then I didn't know he's going over to Gardner Minshew after interceptions.
Yeah,
saying we got this. That's the kind of guy you.
Whew, fourth round pick. It's the only thing that Gruden and that front office
fourth
got right.
Rounder.
That's it. It might not have even been them. I have to check on that. But
you're saying that front office?
It might have been old McKenzie. It might have been the last thing
my brother.
Old Reggie McKenzie did. I'm not sure though. I got to check on it. So it was Gruden. He got through. It was his first or second draft. Literally the only good thing he's ever done for the Raiders. Mm. In that last tenure. He drafted Max Crosby.
Oh yeah, I mean he's a foundational piece, bro.
He's
on a loser.
He had 10 sacks his rookie year. I mean that's pretty amazing. You don't see that quite often.
Y'all gave us Khalil. Go on, send us a Max.
Well, is Khalil like he's just hanging around at this point?
Is he still
right?
With the Chargers? I'm just collecting a check. I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean he'll you know we know
this, he's probably going to end up a Hall of Famer though, bro. That's what all they said because them numbers were so big.
It's crazy. It is crazy, man. Like,
he didn't play on any relevant teams, right? That'll be the thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Let's see. I'm trying to look up his best years. His best year.
This is Max Crosby.
This is Khalil Mack.
Khalil's.
Literally would have never guessed.
Dude, Khalil's numbers are crazy.
His best year of his career was last year.
Well, he had 7 sacks in one game, didn't he?
6%. That's right.
Yeah.
Was it against us?
Yeah, I think it was actually.
That's why he had 17 sacks on the season. Mm-hmm. The best year he'd had with y'all was the first year.
I didn't realize 17, the best he did. I would have told you he got to 20 one of them years with y'all. That's what I would have told you.
He got to 15 his second year.
Maybe he's not a Hall of Famer. Because he didn't play on any teams that.
He's only been in the playoffs 4 times. He's only played in 1 game each year. So.
The numbers, though, the sacks are big.
He's got 101 and a half sacks. 103 now, actually, counting this
year.
It's
a relatively short time, though.
And, you know, 10 years. Is 100 sacks, I mean.
Probably. Like 100 probably get you in.
Throw me out a sack artist from, like, the early 2000s that you feel like should be in. Javon Kearse, is he in?
Javon Kearse, I don't believe he's in. Freak might be in.
Let's see. Hold on, I'll tell you. He is not a Hall of Famer, but he only had 74 sacks.
Okay.
All right, give me another one. Who's like another? I know Dwight Freeney's in.
Yeah, he just got in.
How many did Dwight get? But he has Super Bowls, doesn't he? Or at least one? That may help.
I think he got the one with the Colts, maybe, over us.
Dwight Freeney got
07.
125 and a half sacks.
The 100 number looks real.
And a Super Bowl champ.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, he probably will be. I'll check off the air. We'll figure out some other names. But he's probably on. I don't know if he's first ballot, but he'll probably finish his career with what? 120, 125 and a half. He plays two more years, so he'll probably be in.
What about the dude in New Orleans?
Oh, he's still
got a podcast now. Does he have 100?
What's his name?
Oh, I don't know. Didn't he retire? Will or whatever? Maybe he's not retired. Maybe he's got a pot.
Cam Jordan?
Is it Cam?
I think he's still playing, though.
How many's he got?
He's probably got quite a few. I mean,
He's been down there making money for a long time. Just wonder.
Yeah, he's 35. So he's got 117 and a half. So he'd be ahead of Khalil Mack.
Mm-hmm. That's another one with 100. I was just thinking about guys that you mentioned.
But would you say, I mean, he's never won a Super Bowl. He's only made one first team.
I'm just saying off numbers. Yeah.
You got to put him ahead of Khalil Mack. And I'm not sure. I mean, Cam Jordan might be a Hall of Famer. I don't know. I don't know the
decision. I knew he'd be around that 100 number.
8-time Pro Bowl durability. You play into your mid-30s. It's close.
Pretty good case.
It's close. We'll come back, see who else we can get in the Hall of Fame. Jason and John, are you trying to find ESPN? Robert.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Irwin Jewelers, it's always a good time. It's a wonderful world at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Got the biggest, brightest diamonds. Go see our man, Howie. He's the best. A lot of people, like myself, had no idea where to start when it came to buying engagement rings and diamonds and jewelry. Still don't. But Howie does. I mean, Howie deals with people every day when it comes to buying. It's his business. And he's going to help you find the exact right piece. Also, the meant-to-be guarantee. For whatever reason, something goes wrong the first 365 days, bring it back. Bring that engagement ring back and get a full refund. That's the best thing and one of the great things about Robert Irwin Jewelers.
Yep, got free jewelry spa service for life. Wish my wife had that on her engagement ring. Of course, we didn't buy from Robert Irwin Jewelers. I wasn't schooled at that point in my life. It's what we're trying to do to you guys now. Howie, ready to be your jeweler for life. It just doesn't have to be the big moment that is your wedding. He's got the right gift for whatever the point in life you're at. Retirement gift, new job gift, new pet mom gift. Other things, too, non-traditional achievements like sobriety, weight loss. Congratulations on those things. Should be celebrated with a gift of jewelry. You'll get it from Robert Irwin Jewelers. And like I tell you, it'll be the best jewelry shopping experience of your life with Howie. They've only been doing it, him and his family, for 40 years. So they got this down to a science. It'll make you the best deal in town. Three locations, South Haven, Bartlett, and the Diamond Showroom on Perkins Extended. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Online at rijewelers.com.
What a wonderful world. On a Monday, when Memphis is celebrating a beautiful win against Florida State on the road. Just a beautiful way to end it.
The biggest win of the Silver Field tenure.
It certainly is. I mean, that is the signature. I mean, the UCF one was nice. Mm-hmm. Iowa State one, we can argue about because it was a bowl game and mm-hmm. who cared what and all that. This is undeniable. This was as desperate as Florida State was ever going to be this season. And you went down there and you broke their spirit. I mean,
broke it.
That is as good as it's going to get in college football. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show. Jeffrey and company up next. Norton Heard IV on with Jeffrey this week. Stick around. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.